This morning our gospel comes according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Mark chapter 1. In those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved, with whom you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The word of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we started at the beginning of worship, we are in Lent. This past Wednesday was Ash Wednesday, and we heard the story of King David. David up on top of the roof, and what happens to David? That deep, dark, seedy word, temptation, right? He looks off in the distance, and he sees her. He sees Bathsheba, right? And here, David, we talk about the trials that come with that and the consequences that come with that, but we also remember the covenant that God made with David and the promises he made about the heir to that throne. And now in Lent, in Mark chapter 1, we have the heir to King David's throne himself, Jesus, God in the flesh, now being thrust into the wilderness, where he too will be tempted. But before we get there, we need to start by talking a little bit about that T word, that word temptation. Temptation is a seedy, dark, negative, and tumultuous word for some. For others, we just let it roll off the tip of our tongues and pay no attention to it. But it's a word of negativity, isn't it? Amen? Amen? I don't know many people that said, "Yeah, I love temptation. Temptation's a great thing." If you are that person, we should have a pastoral meeting with a cup of coffee. I'm just saying. It's a word that for some bring up images of lustful thinking, lustful images that we wouldn't openly share with our spouses or our loved ones. Maybe we wouldn't even share it with our closest friends. It's images that many of us may not be proud of. Yet for some of us, such thinking is also perfectly fine, because as long as we aren't actually engaging in anything, as long as we're not actually hurting someone, then, Pastor, it's just a temptation. For others out there, the word temptation stirs up images of alcohol or drug abuse. Addictions that might be in the past, and addictions that for some have been put to bay or in remittance of sorts. And the plan is to keep these temptations in remittance for the rest of our lives. However, there are those, some of us, maybe us personally, or friends, or neighbors, or co-workers, that we know are not in the place of remittance yet. And we're tempted each and every day to tip the bottle to the sky just to soothe that pain or that emptiness, to light the lighter underneath the bowl or at the end of the joint, or to use the lighter to sterilize the needle on our nightstand or in the medical cabinet. And while we're in that cabinet, maybe we push those painkillers aside. And yet for others, it's tax season, amen? Just got off the phone with my tax guy the other day. Wasn't great, not in compared to years past. I like to go on the refund side of things, amen? Yeah, it didn't happen this year. But temptation, the thought of maybe fudging the books just a little bit, the thought of not claiming some items in the accounts. In fact, I looked at my tax guy and said, is there anything you can do? He goes, "Legally, Pastor, no." "I've given you the credits. I've given you the deductions. It is what it is, and I get it." The thoughts of the government spending our hard-earned income on useless, irresponsible things, we might argue, it certainly seems worse than putting those few extra $100 into the pockets of the gas station or the grocery store owners that we also owe, as some of us scrape by day, week by week. The truth is, As much as I don't actually enjoy preaching on this idea of temptations, or maybe we call them tests of sort, because for many this seems like a divine test of sorts, Jesus being thrust in that wilderness, and the truth is, biblically speaking, these temptations are a test. It's a test to condition us in this life. It's a test which will make us stronger for what might lie ahead, which personally, I can't stand. I cannot stand the thought of a testing God. I confess that in my 10 years as a pastor, when I was a younger pastor, I openly would sit there in my room or my office in pastoral care, having conversation, trying to convince people that a loving God doesn't actually test us. I actually remember these words coming out of my mouth, and I repent for those words, because the deeper I myself have gotten in Scripture over the last handful of years, God tests. If you don't believe me, go to Jeremiah. All throughout. Go read the Psalms. All throughout. I can't stand it though. Because as a pastor, I also can't stand that phrase, God won't give you more than you can handle. I've seen people break. And I think that there are times in which there are things that we cannot handle. Amen? But before we go deep into that phrase, I also have to remind us that where we place our focus in the midst of the tests, where we place our focus in the midst of those trials, does in fact determine the difference between those who can stand and those who will struggle even deeper. But let's not go there yet. Let me be clear that these tests that Mark speaks about are not ones specifically to punish us. They're not tests that are used for judgment on our souls. God doesn't just cast out these things for the sake of judging us, because then that would eradicate the need of Christ on the cross. That would eradicate the need of 6 weeks from now as an Easter people. Amen? Again, these temptations are supposed to be tests that will help us endure the weaknesses of this world, to help us endure the unfair cruelties that will be fired our way, whether we like it or whether we don't. When faced with the temptations of life, the question we have to ask ourselves as faithful people is, which path will we take? When the bottles of booze get passed around and we know that it is the temptation that has been the bane of our existence for so long, will we take the bottle or will we abstain and say, no, thank you, and endure with the consequences of our friends laughing at us? Well, guess what? Those friends aren't standing there laughing when you're in jail. When the joint is being passed around or the pills are being passed out at the party, do we take them and participate thinking, wow, you know, you only live once, or do we abstain? When that beautiful young woman in the tight jeans, the low-cut shirt walks by, or that handsome coworker in that favorite pinstripe suit walks by, do you turn and take that second glance? Or do you stay focused and say, not today, Satan? Maybe when your coworkers are bad-mouthing the person that sits next to you, and after that person has gotten up out of their seat to go to the bathroom, do you join in the bantering or take on the higher road? At bare minimum, stay silent, maybe on the high road, and say, hey guys, I don't think that's appropriate. When you're so angry at your wife's boss, now this is a story that could take me down a deep pit rabbit hole. I'll never forget the day that my wife was forced to resign her position of maternity leave. I will say no names out of legal litigation. Forced to resign because the people she worked for had to save their own butts. The anger I harnessed. I remember driving around Hill City that day, literally punching my steering wheel as I talked to God. And the sheriff showed up at my house, and he goes, Pastor, everything okay with your truck? And I said, yeah, why? He goes, because I heard the horn go around all around town. And I said, yeah, it wasn't stuck. He goes, are you okay? I said, no, I'm not. Right? Remember down at the motorcycle shop later that afternoon and telling the guys, my friends that are old school bikers, school of hard knocks, Pastor, what are you going to do about it? I was like, well, I got things I'd like to do about it. One guy tossed me a switchblade and said, take out his tires. That's what we did. All the temptations. Vic, he was even a little more deep and seedy. He goes, don't use the switchblade. Here's the valve core puller. Pull that, and then they'll sit there and try to figure out why their tires won't inflate over and over and over again. It's like, you guys are crooked. And they said, oh, it's just starting. Do we jump in with the feel good, the anger? Or do we attempt that thing called forgiveness? Knowing that the anger that we hold on to, the frustration we hold on to at the end of the day is only going to hurt ourselves and our own loved ones. Brothers and sisters in Christ, these tests, these moments in our lives, these temptations have not been fought by us alone. And that is one of the things we need to really wrap our heads around. Because in our text today in Mark's Gospel, we move right from Jesus' baptism. A baptism of witness, a baptism of the heavens being torn apart, a baptism of water and the Spirit, and then God Himself, God in the flesh, thrusts His own Son out into the desert. God uses God's own Spirit to cast Jesus into the wilderness, where He too, for 40 days, will fast and be tested by Satan himself. And why? In order that He can have the fortitude. In order that He can stand up to the ways of the world, the principalities of the devil himself, so that He Himself can carry out a new message into the world. A new test. A new temptation. A new decision. To be tempted by something that the world cannot give. And that's to be tempted with love. You didn't think about that. Have you ever thought that you could be tempted by love? Genuine, true, faithful, merciful love. All things can be overcome with kindness, believe it or not. There was that thing called 2020, right? It was amazing when you met the person that battled you with kindness rather than opinion. All things can be overcome when we trust in God and God alone. All things can be overcome through the ways of God rather than through the ways of the world. And what are those ways of the world? Violence, power, the lies we tell others, the lies we tell ourselves, and the deception that comes with it. And of course, the greed. But these temptations, these tests aren't as easy to maneuver as you say, Pastor. Easier said than done. Because, Pastor, it's not so easy when you're looking at your bank account, which is growing smaller and smaller by the day, knowing that there are bills coming this week that are probably going to put the numbers beyond repair. Easier said than done, Pastor. It's not so easy when you're so lonely that the only thing you have to turn to is the bottle in the fridge. That bottle that you know for a few minutes will give you a relief, a numbness to your pain and your frustration. It's not so easy to not take the second glance at that beautiful young lady as she walks by, because it's so much easier to flirt than it is to deal with your problems. Amen? It's hard to do that when things are crumbling back at home. But again, let's not pretend that God doesn't understand this. And let's not pretend that these temptations weren't easy for Christ either. He was, in fact, a human being. Remember, Mark doesn't explain it as much, but if you go into Matthew and Luke, Satan takes up Jesus on top of the pinnacle of the temple. He takes him up on top of the mountain outside of Jericho. He's showing him the entire world. You can have everything, Jesus, if you just bow down to me. You can have everything because the world is the devil's kingdom. And you can have it all if you bow down to me. But Jesus stands up and he says, no. Be silent. Get away from me. You shall not test the Lord your God. And Jesus knew that this test was a moment for him to prove that he truly was going to be the one that would bring that message of love, compassion, and mercy rather than that message of power, greed, and might. It's also good to know that even Christ wasn't alone in the wilderness. As Mark says, the angels of heaven were out on his side, and I firmly believe that the angels are on our side as well. In closing, I want to leave us with this last thought. If you kept up with me this much, Pastor, that's a lot of theological tempting and testing. Amen? What does that mean? Like, give me an image. Give me a thought. Think of it this way. If we think about God giving us the tests, allowing us to go through the trials and the tribulations for the sake of fortitude and goodness and molding and shaping. Give me a thought, Pastor, that maybe I can wrap my head around. How many of us had in our lives had a really good teacher? If you close your eye, you have a thought of the best teacher you ever had. Or maybe it's not a teacher in the classroom, maybe it's a mentor or a dear family member that taught you the greatest lessons you ever learned. Now, when a good teacher notices the star student in the fifth grade class, I mean the student that has perfect spelling tests, the student that knows their math, the student that is raising their hands, inquiring with the most challenging questions, and you know for a fact that that kid should not be in fifth grade. Is that teacher going to do what the rest of the world does and throw them back in fourth grade so they can obliterate the competition? No, absolutely not. In fact, that teacher is probably not even going to keep them in fifth grade. That good teacher is going to sit down with those parents, sit down with the school administration, and convince them, I think we should put your kid up. I think we should push them ahead. And then finally, out of faith and out of struggle, they say, okay, let's do this. You see something that I can't see. Let's try this. And that student goes there, and I guarantee you it's not going to be easy. Amen? Absolutely not. The setting is going to push that star student a little harder. That setting is going to certainly be a struggle. It's going to be one that might be even greater outcome for the student. And it's not just going to be for the student. It's going to be for their family that they raise. It's going to be for the community that they're a part of. It's going to be in that vocation, that career that they establish. Because that good teacher tested them, molded them, shaped them. I pray that this good teacher is someone that you view as your Lord and Savior. But there's one last thought. Pastor, I like that image. It works when things are well. But what about the constant sickness that I fight? What about the constant losses in my life? The people who keep getting ripped out of it? What about the constant challenges? I've done everything right, Pastor. I read my Bible. I pray. I come to church. I give to the church. I do everything I can. And just time after time, I'm tired of being put in the sixth grade. Amen? I'll give the lesson that my great teacher once taught me. I've said it before. I'll say it again. When we go, I remember it was my ordination day. My mentor was there. He placed my red stole around my shoulders. And that afternoon, sitting on my parents' deck, he pulled me aside and he said, Craig, you're now going into the world to do what God needed you to do. As you go forward, you're not going to get it figured out. And you're going to think you have every step of the way figured out. And I promise you, you won't. He said, stop walking into the future facing forward. When we go into the future facing forward, we often have our chin up in the air, we're full of pride and ego, and we've got the world by our hands, we've got it all figured out. Amen? He said, it's in those moments that it all comes crashing down. He said, you start walking into the future facing backwards, and you see those moments, those tests, those trials, those tribulations, and you will indeed see where the angels showed up. You will indeed see where God was with you every step of the way. And when you walk into the future with that perspective, you will always remain a man of faith. And when you remain your life, or when your life remains as a man of faith, God will always provide you the next answer. This is Lent. Walk into the future facing backwards. Embrace the tests. And welcome to sixth grade. Thanks be to God. Amen.